Hello and welcome to the World of Birds podcast. I'm your host, Kayla Fisk. Today's podcast, we're going to go over the family Passerillidae, which contains the New World sparrows. The family Passerillidae contains 132 species in 30 genera. Of those, 43 species can be found in North America. Each genera can each contain a single species, like Amphipisa, which just contains the black-throated sparrow, all the way up to Altipedes, which contains 33 species. Not all members of this family have the word sparrow in their name, though. Some may be called juncos, towhees, bunting, or finch. While both New World Passerillidae and Old World sparrows, Passeridae, are called sparrows, the New World sparrows are actually more closely related to the Old World buntings than they are to the Old World sparrows. These New World sparrows even used to be classified with the buntings and the family Emberizidae until 2017 when they were split from that group. When we talk about New World versus Old World, what we're generally talking about is where they're from. And this goes for birds and non-birds alike. The New World includes the Americas, North, South, and Central. Old World refers to Asia, Africa, and Europe. Like many species, they got their name from when European settlers came over to the New World. Our sparrows looked and acted similar to their sparrows, and thus were given the same name. Two species I also like to use as an example of this recycling of names is our American robin and the European robin. Yes, they look very similar, but are completely unrelated. While our American robin is a thrush, the European robin is a flycatcher. Overall, this group of birds are on the smaller side, with large heads, short necks, long tails, and conical bills. Those in the north are the ones that tend to be more brown, streaked, and they are the ones that have these bold face patterns. But as you go further south, these species tend to become less streaked and start having more blacks, grays, olives, and reddish browns in their plumage. Many in this family also have distinctive face or head patterns. Many times you are even able to identify the species just by looking at these patterns on their face. Some can be boldly patterned with contrasting colors, and some are faint and barely noticeable, or may just have an eye line, for example. Some may not have any facial markings at all, like the towhees and juncos. New World sparrows also have 10 primary feathers, with their 10th usually being hidden by other feathers. Not all New World sparrows have that typical sparrow shape, though. Species in the Neotropics, such as Central and South America, can be much larger, with brighter colors than you would see in the North American species. While generally males and females will look the same in this family, not all will follow this rule. For example, the Eastern Towhee and Lark Bunting do display sexual dimorphism, meaning the males and females can be distinguished based on their plumage. Most species in this family also have dark eyes, but some, like the Eastern Towhee, can have red, yellow, like can be seen in the Volcano Junco, or silvery, like the short-billed Chlorospingus. The smallest member of this family is the Leconte sparrow. This little sparrow can be found through parts of Canada, down through the central part of North America in marshy habitats. They measure about 4.7 inches long and weigh 0.4 to 0.6 ounces. On the other end of the spectrum, though, seeming to be the largest members of this family is either the California towhee or the Canyon towhee. Both measure in at about 9.8 inches long, though overall, the average length in this family is about 6 inches. As said earlier, these New World sparrows can be found throughout North, South, and Central America. Just as diverse as this group is, including its impressive range, they also inhabit a wide range of different habitat types. From grasslands, deserts, swamps, marshes, to forests, both temperate and tropical. Some species are more generalist, being found in a wide range of habitats, like the song sparrow, who is definitely not too picky on the area they call home. But most sparrows tend to be more of habitat specialists. The salt marsh sparrow, as its name suggests, can only be found in salt marshes along the eastern coast. In the desert regions, you can find species such as the black-throated sparrow, rufous winged sparrow, or the canyon towhee. In fields or grasslands, you will see and hear species such as field sparrows, savanna sparrows, and grasshopper sparrows. The tropical forests contain species such as the chlorosphinguses. While most species tend to stay in one area year-round, especially in the neotropical species, others may migrate slightly south in the winter months. New World sparrows tend to feed on a variety of different insects, fruits, and seeds. The percentage of each varies between species and time of the year. During the non-breeding season, many species have seeds as a higher percentage of their diet. Some species that live along coastal areas have even been known to eat mollusks and crustaceans. Towhees can be seen foraging among leaf litter on the ground, raking leaves away in search of food. This style of foraging on the ground is shared by many sparrows. Others may prefer to pick insects and seeds directly off various plants and vegetation. As a whole, this group of birds are generally monogamous, with both the male and female caring for the young, and their breeding range as a family extends from the Arctic tundra, like the white-throated sparrow, all the way down to the southern tip of South America. An open-cup nest is the most common style of nest constructed, and generally done so by the female, who also does all the incubation. These nests are generally constructed with plant materials, such as grasses and small twigs. Nests can be built in shrubs, trees, or on the ground. Some species, though, like the Bachman sparrow, will actually build dome nests. In these nests, sparrows typically have a clutch of 1 to 7 eggs. Afterwards, these eggs are incubated from anywhere from 12 to 15 days and another 7 to 15 days until they fledge. Both parents will then continue to care for the young for up to another month before they become fully independent. An interesting fact about the breeding range of sparrows is that the Harris sparrow is unique, for it is North America's only songbird that's breeding range lays exclusively in Canada, leading it to actually be one of the last species in North America to have its nest documented. Of the 132 species in this family, 18 of them are listed as a conservation concern, with 7 near threatened, 4 vulnerable, 6 endangered, and 1 critically endangered. The critically endangered Antiochia brushfinch is only known from 3 museum specimens. 2 expeditions were actually conducted, one in 2007 and the other in 2008, but unfortunately neither of these quests were successful in refinding the species. Habitat loss seems to be one of the main threats to many of these sparrows. Many of these sparrows that are a species of concern live in a very restricted range, such as the pale-headed brushfinch, who has a range that's only about 1 kilometer, or the Zapata sparrow, which can only be found in 3 wetlands in Cuba. One of the main threats facing these sparrows, especially those with such a small range, is loss of habitat. Crucial habitat is often being converted for agricultural use. And lastly, one in this family is extinct, that being the Bermuda towhee, which is only known from fossil remains and a few sightings made in 1610 to 1611. And that wraps up this episode on New World sparrows, a family that contains 132 of the 11,017 species of birds found in the world. If you like this episode, I would love it if you could give this podcast a follow and rate it on your chosen listening platforms. And as always, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Kayla Fisk Birds. Thanks for listening, all you lovely bird nerds, and have a great day.